Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, December 23rd, 2022. Coming up this hour,
markets look for gains ahead of the holidays amid concerns over Fed tightening.
The January 6th committee releases a scathing report with blame focusing on former President Trump.
Sam Bankman-Fried released on a massive bail payment.
And soaring COVID cases threaten China's economy.
People taking planes, trains, and automobiles are hoping a winter storm does not play Grinch with holiday travel plans. Plus a fire on a New York ferry. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower. The Jets' losing streak continued, a struggling offense, and a home loss to Jacksonville. The Rangers beat the Islanders.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning. We check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg Radio with S&P futures that'll change. Dow futures higher up to 0.1% or 60 points. And NASDAQ futures down about 0.1% or 9 points. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 3.69%, and the yield on the 2-year at 4.27%. Nathan.
Yeah, Karen. So we're kind of treading water this morning after stocks snapped a 3-day win streak yesterday. The latest strong economic data are validating the case that the Federal Reserve can keep tightening monetary policy. That set a downbeat tone for the week. Tech stocks in particular are on course for their worst December since the dot-com bubble burst. Nomura's head of cross-asset strategies, Matthew Rowe, says it's a sign of a broader market trend.
And that Rowe with Nomura off of that addiction to zero interest rate free ride on risk. And that's why I think 2023 is going to be the year of credit, because most investors haven't had to contemplate rising implied and actual default rates, you know, eroding credit markets, widening credit spreads. So it's going to be an interesting education and path for investors.
Now, Matthew Rowe with Nomura says growth stocks will be the biggest pain trade in 2023.
Well, Nathan, investors get more data to digest today just ahead of the holiday weekend. And Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice has a preview.
In October, consumer spending adjusted for inflation posted the largest increase since the start of the year. Today's report could tell a different story as inflation chips away at household finances. Preliminary data show November retail sales dropped by the most in nearly a year. Also on today's data agenda, new home sales. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. And we'll get one more notable data point at 10 a.m. Wall Street time with the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index. That report has proved to be a market mover in recent months.
Let's turn to markets in Asia now, Karen. We saw weakness across several markets there ahead of the weekend. Bloomberg's Brian Curtis has more on that story.
Asian equities tracked lower after a slump in U.S. technology stocks. Strong U.S. economic data strengthened the case for the Fed to continue raising interest rates. The Hang Seng Tech Index led the falls, but weakness was also seen in Japan, Australia, and South Korea. Elsewhere, oil headed for a big weekly gain as China's shift away from COVID zero bolstered the outlook for demand. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Meanwhile, in China, a complete reversal in COVID policy is not having the effect officials initially intended. COVID infections are soaring and keeping people at home, causing a slump in travel and economic activity. People in Beijing and other major Chinese cities have been hit by an exit wave of infections, though they're being encouraged to return to work, even if they're sick.
Now let's turn to a major note in politics in this country, Karen. The House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol has released its final report on the insurrection, and it casts the blame on former President Donald Trump specifically for inciting violence to try to hold on to power. The 814-page report details Trump's efforts to pressure state officials and the Justice Department to overturn the 2020 election. The committee also recommends that Congress establish a mechanism that would formally bar Trump and others identified in the report from holding any government or military office under the 14th Amendment.
Well, turning to Tesla now, Nathan, after offloading a massive sum of Tesla shares this year, CEO Elon Musk says he will not be selling shares for a while. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with that story. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Musk sold almost $40 million of Tesla shares, mostly to fund his purchase of Twitter. Now he's ready to take a break.
I'm not selling any stock for I don't know, I call it a minimum 18 to 24 months. So you can count on me like no stock sales till probably, I don't know, 2025 or something.
Musk's declaration was in response to a question from longtime investor Ross Gerber, who challenged the CEO's leadership of the electric vehicle maker. Shareholders seemed pleased with the announcement, with Tesla stock rising as much as 3.5% in pre-market trading. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. Let's turn to crypto now. The latest on FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried. The crypto exchange's former CEO was released on a massive bail package after he made his first U.S. court appearance yesterday. That deal includes a $250 million personal recognizance bond that was secured by his parents' home in California. One federal prosecutor called it one of the largest pretrial bonds in U.S. history. Sam Bankman-Fried is facing fraud charges over the collapse of FTX. His next court appearance is scheduled for January 3rd.
Well, as the FTX saga plays out, Nathan, SEC Chair Gary Gensler is saying the agency's patience is wearing thin for digital asset exchanges and other firms that shirk its regulations. Doug Krisner joins us with that story.
In an interview yesterday, SEC Chair Gary Gensler said the agency's patience is wearing thin for digital asset exchanges and other firms that shirk its regulations. Gensler said the runway is getting shorter to start following rules and register with the agency. He also said the casinos in this Wild West are non-compliant intermediaries. Gensler also declined to identify firms facing scrutiny or comment on where the probe of FTX may go next. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. Finally, oil is headed for a substantial weekly gain as Russia says it may cut crude production in response to the price cap imposed by the G7 on its exports. Right now, NYMEX crude's up 2.1% at $79.14 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's 55 degrees right now in Central Park, raining, but rain's going to end early, and then temperatures are going to sink like a stone this afternoon, down to the low teens tonight. Let's get a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. You ready for this deep freeze, Michael?
No, but but neither are 200 million Americans, but it's going to affect many people because of this massive winter storm rolling across the country. Here in the tri-state area, temperatures are forecast to plummet around 30 degrees in just hours, freezing any rain already on the roads. Strong winds, snow, and flooding are also part of the storm. This woman lives in Lindenhurst, New York, where she says there was flooding from heavy rain just last week.
I do get nervous as far as losing power and just trying to manage what we're going to do as far as eating and just making sure we have the heat on.
Hundreds of flights have already been canceled or delayed in the tri-state area. Meanwhile, President Biden warned Americans to take the storm seriously.
It goes from Oklahoma all the way to Wyoming and Wyoming to Maine, and it's a real consequence. So I encourage everyone, please heed the local warning.
The president says it's not like a snow day when you were a kid. This is serious stuff. Hundreds of New York City commuters had to be evacuated from a Staten Island ferry after a fire broke out on board last evening. Officials say there were no major injuries, but at least five people are being treated for smoke inhalation. Officials say workers quickly detected the fire, activated a high-tech suppression system, and sealed the flames behind airtight doors. FDNY Deputy Chief Frank Lee praised the crew members for their response.
This is the way the system's supposed to happen. When there's an engine room fire, you're supposed to notify the Coast Guard, and then you're supposed to make sure that you seal it and get the people out of the way. So everybody acted the way I would expect them to.
The FDNY's Frank Lee says passengers filed downstairs and evacuated onto other ferries which had raced to help. A Connecticut judge denied InfoWars host Alex Jones's motion seeking a new trial and the overturning of a jury verdict requiring him to pay hundreds of millions of dollars to families of victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. For years, Jones described the 2012 shootings in Newtown as a hoax. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. Didn't seem as if this was possible, but things have gone from bad to worse for the Jets' young quarterback, Zach Wilson. Lost his job to Mike White, got it back when White got hurt, lost his job again last night, got benched late third quarter, and the fans, who braved the weather, went wild when Wilson was removed in favor of Chris Streveler. Wilson was the second pick of the draft. Streveler is the former Winnipeg Blue Bomber, who wasn't drafted at all. Jacksonville won in the rain at MetLife 19-3. And both teams are now 7-8, but the Jaguars are red hot. If they win their last two games, they're going to the playoffs. The Jets fading fast. They've lost four in a row. Their season, which was going so well earlier, will almost certainly end in a couple of weeks. And then the Jets will have to decide what to do with Wilson. Giants play tomorrow in Minnesota. Philadelphia brings its 13-1 record into Dallas. Gardner Minshew will quarterback the Eagles for the injured Jalen Hurts. Lamar Jackson's going to miss the third straight game for Baltimore. At the Garden, Rangers and Islanders.
Vanacek goes back into the near point for Trocheck, for Panarin at the circle. Back up top for Fox straight away. Fox drives to the far circle. Fox still with it. Passes to Vanacek quickly. Panarin with a blast, and he scores! Artemi Panarin on the power play. Rangers and Islanders are tied at one.
ESPN New York, the call. They were also tied at two and then three, and that's when Kaapo Kakko scored with under 3 minutes left. Rangers won 5-3. They held the Islanders only 18 shots, and the Rangers have won 8 of their last 9, while the Isles have lost 5 of 6. Knicks have won 8 of 9. Host Chicago tonight. Nets go for an 8th win in a row. Home game with first place Milwaukee. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
Thank you. All right, John, thank you. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. Not a whole lot of movement in the stock market this morning. S&P futures are up 1 point. Dow futures up 58. NASDAQ futures are down 10 points. A little bit of activity in the bond space, though, with the 10-year Treasury down 6/32. The yield, 3.70%.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on Sirius XM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are holding steady this morning as we await inflation data later today. There is concern in this market it could be yet another reason for the Federal Reserve to harden its resolve to continue pursuing aggressive policy. That's sort of the sentiment that we got from the latest economic data just yesterday, with making the case that the Fed could keep hiking interest rates without breaking the back of the economy. That put tech stocks on course for their worst December since the bursting of the dot-com bubble 2 decades ago. Investors will be focused today on the core PCE deflator. That is a key inflation measure tracked by the Fed. And, of course, fighting inflation is the focus for this central bank and central banks around the world, really, as we head into 2023. Just about every central bank that we track has been making the case that they will continue raising interest rates and keeping them higher for longer to get inflation under control. Let's take a look at some other stories we're following this morning. The State Department says U.S. Treasury Secretary of State, I should say, Antony Blinken, discussed COVID transparency in a recent call with China's foreign minister. He stressed the importance of Beijing being forthright about a growing COVID-19 outbreak in the country.
Invest in the foundations of our strength at home, align with our partners and allies, compete with China so that we can defend our interests and realize our vision for the future.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken also discussed the war in Ukraine in a call with China yesterday. And now let's head over to Jeff Yu, senior EMEA strategist at BNY Mellon, to take a look at this market this morning and get a look at the path ahead in 2023. Jeff, good morning. It seems like every data point that comes across the tape just adds to the volatility. Is that kind of what you're looking for as we limp our way to the rest of this year?
We have to bear in mind that there are year-end conditions as well. You know, these sometimes are, you know, just often quite volatile. But at the same time, there's been quite a lot going on, you know, heading into a year end as well, you know, policy surprises. And I think the market just needs to reassess, you know, how easy or how loose that global central banks are going to be. And I think the question is, the answer is unquestionably, it's not going to be as loose as markets hope.
Well, what is your assessment of how things go? It seems like the latest economic data that we're getting here does seem to bolster the case that the Federal Reserve can continue tightening, though some of the data have been mixed. What's your take on where the data could go from here?
The question is, where does the growth data go from here? Where does the housing data go from here versus where does the inflation data go from here? And these two could be very different things, right? So I think that's what the markets, I mean, are concerned about. Yes, I mean, activity numbers are slowing and the housing markets and clearly, you know, flashing, you know, amber, if not a bit more. But at the same time, if we look forward to core PCE today, you know, these are good indicators for inflation, underlying demand. If they come in line with expectations or slightly higher than expectations, you know, then the Fed will just say we still have an inflation mandate, and heading into next year, prices are easing, but not easing at a pace that they'd like. So we reaffirm our view that the Fed are not going to hike aggressively further, you know, beyond 5, but they probably may need to stay at 5 for longer than expected.
Do you expect that the PCE deflator that we get today is going to bolster that case further? I mean, we have seen signs in this economy that it looks like the Fed is winning the battle. I mean, it's not where it needs to be, where it wants to be, but the trend is moving steadily downward when it comes to inflation, isn't it?
I think you hit the nail on the head there. You know, winning the battle, but you need to, win the war against inflation, right? And that is global circumstances, and there could be, you know, further things in the tail, you know, when it comes to inflation as well. But the other, I guess, point of volatility is, if you look at what's happened to ECB pricing yesterday, we're up at 3.5% already, tightening in Europe. If you look at what the BOJ did, surprisingly speaking, this is still, you know, one of the world's largest economies, you know, tightening as well. So even if the Fed stands still, then markets need to take into account global conditions. And the fact is, Europe and Japan are tightening more than expected, right? Only China is probably on the other side, you know, right now, but due to growth concerns, that's a worry too. So you've got weak China growth on the one hand and global tightening on the other. Then small wonder that risk appetite is a bit soggy right now.
In our last 30 seconds here, where do you look for opportunity against tighter central banks?
So it's still real rates in emerging markets. You know, we look at the flows of into the likes of Brazil, Mexico, you know, Indonesia. Indonesia, you know, had a central bank decision, you know, yesterday, probably the only place in Asia right now, which is already above the head of the Fed and will stay comfortably above the Fed. We're seeing a lot of external players adding their exposures to the bond market, things like that. I think they will continue have positive real rates. I think that's the bottom line.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Happy holidays. We don't speak again. Jeffrey Yu, senior strategist at BNY Mellon, with us this morning. Right now, S&P futures are up 4 points, Dow futures up 73, and NASDAQ futures trimming their declines now, down still, but only by 2 points. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are steady ahead of inflation data due out later this morning. We check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg, but S&P futures up 6 points or about 0.2%. Dow futures up 89 points or 0.3%. And NASDAQ futures little change. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year treasury down 6/32, yield 3.70%. And the yield on the 2-year 4.27%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.4% of $1.83 at $79.31. cents a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $10.90 at 18.0620 an ounce. The euro 1.0613 against the dollar. British pound 1.2056. And the yen is at 132.66. And Bitcoin is up 0.4% at about $16,900. And investors are going to be focused on the core PCE deflator, which is a key inflation measure tracked by the Fed. It's out at 8:30 Wall Street time. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. A winter storm has caused thousands of flight cancellations, and homeless shelters are overflowing. amid one of the most treacherous holiday travel seasons the nation has seen in decades. The House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol delivered a scathing report. In its release yesterday, it blamed one man, former President Donald Trump, for inciting violence to try and hold on to power. The Senate passed a $1.7 trillion spending bill in an effort to stop a government shutdown. In the NFL, the Jets lost to the Jaguars 19-3. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Rangers 5-3. The Bruins won. In the NBA, the Wizards lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:23 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more on that spending bill. $1.7 trillion actually passed the Senate with a bipartisan vote after an impasse on immigration policy was broken. Today, the House gets its vote, probably going to happen pretty quick, so lawmakers can beat it out of the town to get ahead of a winter storm. Bloomberg's Joe Matthews spoke with Congressman Henry Cuellar, Democrat of Texas, about whether he thinks the measure passes.
Absolutely. We are going to go ahead and pass it. Look, every bill is put together, and there are different opinions. It's not the way I want it or somebody else might want it, but it's combined together. And we are going to pass it. And there is money for Homeland. You know, I'm very interested on that. I sit on three committees, Homeland, Defense, and, of course, Ag. But talking about the border, there is money for border security here.
This wouldn't have come about unless Mike Lee's amendment was struck down or allowed on the floor. It was struck down, and there, I could get into a lot of sort of politics here about what that might have meant for the House. But knowing that that is not there and knowing that Title 42 is bound up in court, what is your thought right now on the status of security on the border in your district?
Well, certainly Title 42 looks like it's going to go away. It's a health order. It's not an immigration
right.
order. I
understand you want that to happen.
But I want it to extend till the administration comes up with a new policy. A policy that will allow these migrant seekers to go in a early pathway through the ports of entry or online and ask for asylum. And if they come in between ports of entry like they're doing right now, either they'll be asked to go voluntarily return themselves or they're going to be deported with some sort of penalty where they cannot apply for the next 5 years or so for asylum. We got to have consequences. The problem is there are no consequences. We can add technology, we can add personnel, but you got to have the right policy with the mixture of personnel and technology.
Are you at odds with the White House on that?
Well, I've always, from the very beginning, and I can tell you December 10th, 2020, is when I called the transition team, the Biden transition team, and I said, hey, look, I want to offer my services. My understanding is December of 2020, I was already telling them that people were lining up to come across. And I kept on trying to talk to them, but they have a different mindset. And unfortunately, without due respect, a lot of the people that have the White House have immigration background, which is okay. But who's listening to the men and women in green? Who's listening to the border communities?
Yeah.
Somebody's got to listen to my border communities.
But this is a tough spot here, knowing that this is going to be a court decision and not likely a legislative one. Do you have any sense of timing on when the Supreme Court comes back around on Title 42?
No, we don't. You know, they asked for those briefs pretty quickly, and we'll wait what happens. But I'm hoping that the administration will come up with a policy that will have an orderly pathway for asylum seekers and consequences if they don't.
That's Democrat Henry Cuellar of Texas speaking with Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weeknights, 5 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. Listen anytime. You can download the show wherever you get your podcasts. We've got your top stories, local headlines, a check of markets next. First, brace yourself for this weekend weather forecast.
A tri-state area under a wind advisory through 10 p.m. tonight. The rain will taper off. Temperatures will fall from the 50s through the 40s into the 30s by late today. We're partly cloudy, breezy, and much colder tonight. Lows 10 to 15. A mixture of clouds and sun, breezy for tomorrow. Highs only 20 to 25. Christmas Day, abundant sunshine, but still cold. Highs only 25 to 30. I'm Rob Carolyn with your 3-day forecast on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's coming up to 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, and this is your daily reminder from Innovation Refunds to apply for a payroll tax refund if your small to medium-sized business was impacted by COVID-19. Innovation Refunds. Clients have already claimed over $2 billion in payroll refunds. Get started at GetRefunds.com.
And Nathan, we're nearly 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures, they're higher after stocks snapped a three-day winning streak yesterday. Anticipation of future Fed tightening has set a downbeat tone for the week, and tech stocks in particular are on course for their worst December since the dot-com bubble burst. Nomura's head of cross-asset strategies, Matthew Rowe, believes there'll be one trade in particular that will cause investors some pain next year.
I think it's growth stocks. I mean, I think when you look at, you know, with interest rates at zero, the present value of anything is equal to what it will be in the future as a discounting function. And when you start to take rates up, especially for non-profitable companies, it gets pretty ugly from a fundamental perspective.
And Matthew Rowe with Nomura said the broader tech downturn is a sign of a market trend that could continue into 2023.
Yeah, investors have some more data to digest, Karen, before the holiday weekend. We get the latest read on consumer spending at 8:30 Wall Street time. 2 hours after that, we'll get the actually, I think it's about an hour and a half, isn't it, Karen, that we get the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index.
Oh, yes. And meanwhile, in China, reversal in COVID policy is not having the effect officials initially intended. Infections are soaring and keeping people at home, causing a slump in travel and economic activity.
Let's turn to Tesla now. After offloading a massive sum of shares in the company this year, the CEO, Elon Musk, says he won't be doing that again, at least for a while. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Shares of Tesla climbed as much as 3.5% in pre-market trading after Elon Musk said he's done offloading for now.
I'm not selling any stock for, I don't know, a quarter minimum 18 to 24 months. So you can count on me, like, no stock sales till probably, I don't know, 2025 or something.
Musk has made such declarations before only to sell more stock. Much of the $40 billion of shares he sold this year were to fund his acquisition of Twitter. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. Turning to crypto now and the latest on FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried. The exchange's former CEO was released on a massive bail package after making his first U.S. court appearance yesterday. It includes a $250 million personal recognizance bond secured by his parents' house in California, which one federal prosecutor called one of the largest pretrial bonds in U.S. history.
And the House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol has released its final report, Karen, and it casts the blame on former President Donald Trump specifically for inciting violence to try to hold on to power.
Futures this morning are higher. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 5:31 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. A nasty winter storm has caused thousands of flight cancellations, including here in the New York area. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has more.
Michael, a powerful winter storm continues to develop over the eastern Great Lakes this morning. This system is going to be driving a cold front through much of the eastern part of the country this morning, where we're seeing temperatures in the 50s and 60s out ahead of the front, generally in the teens across the Ohio River Valley behind the front, and then it's in the single digits below zero across the western Ohio River Valley. All this air now going to work its way into the southeastern United States today, the mid-Atlantic states, and the northeast. It's also going to set up some very potent lake effect snows outside of Buffalo today. They could see anywhere from 1 to 3 feet of snowfall from today through Christmas Day, and it's also going to be accompanied by winds that are going to be gusting at times over 60 miles an hour. This is going to be one of the coldest Christmases for the central United States, probably since 1983. Coldest Christmas in the Northeast since at least 2013. Michael?
Thank you, Rob. A trip on a Staten Island ferry turned out to be anything but a normal ride last night.
We received a 911 call reporting a fire in the engine room
of one of the Staten Island ferries.
Frank Lieb with the FDNY says more than 800 passengers had to be evacuated. The Senate passed a $1.7 trillion spending bill in an effort to stop a government shutdown. Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy.
Most of what's in here has been put together in a bipartisan fashion, funding things that we all say we agree with.
Republican Senator Richard Shelby.
This bill, we know what it is. We know it's omnibus. We know it's not perfect. But it's got a lot of stuff in it, a lot of good stuff.
The bill includes $40 billion in disaster relief aid. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 5:33 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stagiauer.
Thanks, Nathan. Hard to believe now, but the Jets not that long ago were flirting with the idea of winning the AFC East. Their season's pretty much gone down the tubes. Four straight losses, just two wins in their last eight games, and they're in last place. Again last night in the Jets' home finale. Pretty good effort by the defense. Allowed Jacksonville to score only one touchdown, but virtually no offense. Jets got an early field goal only because of a Jaguars fumble. First half, they had three first downs, 66 yards. Zach Wilson threw an interception, and late third quarter, Wilson, much to the delight of the fans, got benched again, this time in favor of the undrafted former Winnipeg Blue Bomber, Chris Streveler, who did look good for the Jets in the preseason, and he outplayed Wilson. He ran for 54 yards in just over a quarter. Jaguars won in the rain 19-3, and Wilson was asked about losing his job again.
We're not doing anything offensively, and, you know, I'm trying to figure it out, trying to help get the guys going. I'm trying to, you know, get myself in a little bit of rhythm, and you know, we had nothing there. And so, you know, you can't blame him in that situation. You know, you put Chris out there, and he's obviously great with his legs and his arm, and he was able to give us a little bit of a spark.
The Jets have now used four different quarterbacks this season. Giants play tomorrow at Minnesota. If the Giants win and they get two of three teams to lose between Seattle, Detroit, and Washington, and Giants clinch playoff berth. At the Garden, Rangers beat the Islanders 5-3. A goal, two assists for Barkley Goodrow. Capo Caco scored the go-ahead goal with under 3 minutes left. Home games for the Knicks and Nets tonight. Knicks against Chicago. The Nets welcome in Milwaukee. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today. Or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. 5:35 on Wall Street. That's time for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York has outlawed the manufacture and sale of cosmetics that involve new animal testing. The new law takes effect on January 1st. Violators will be fined up to $5,000 plus another $1,000 a day if violations continue. Governor Kathy Hochul signed the measure into law Thursday evening. Empire State Building owner Empire State Realty Trust has purchased a rental apartment building in NoHo, funded partly by the sale of two office buildings in the area. Cranes reports Empire State Realty closed on the purchase of a full-service rental apartment asset on Mulberry for $115 million. Google is leveraging its partnership with Samsung to launch its first 3D ad in New York's Times Square. The tech giant wants to appeal to young millennials and Gen Z by showcasing the ad on a 3D billboard. It's part of Google's ongoing The Future is Unfolding campaign with Samsung, which began in 2021. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. It is 5:36 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. As the demise of the FTX crypto empire unfolds, lawmakers and regulators are grappling with a question. What, if anything, should they try to do to civilize a market so rife with abuse? Some might be tempted to sit back and hope the crypto market will simply burn out, putting an end to the whole bizarre episode. But that would be wishful thinking. Officials need to act on the lessons of 2022's fiascos, from the collapse of the Terra stablecoin to FTX, to ensure that renewed speculation never threatens the broader financial system. Clear rules would provide authorities with the framework they need to crack down on bad actors, a category into which FTX would have fallen. A few regulatory fixes should prevent crypto from becoming a systemic threat. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. And terminal customers may have seen this red headline just cross the Bloomberg terminal. Nearly 37 million people in China may have been infected with COVID-19 on a single day this week. That is according to estimates from the Chinese government's top health authority. Minutes from an internal meeting of the Chinese National Health Commission say as many as 248 million people, nearly 18% of the Chinese population, likely contracted the virus in the first 20 days of this month. If that's accurate, the infection rate would dwarf the previous daily record of about 4 million infections set in January of 2022. But again, the new estimate, nearly 37 million people infected with COVID in just one day in China, according to the Chinese government. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures, they're higher ahead of inflation data that's due out later this morning amid concern it may be yet another reason for the Fed to harden its resolve to pursue aggressive policy. And we check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 12 points or 0.3%. Dow futures up almost 0.4% or 124 points. And NASDAQ futures up 0.3% or 32 points. The DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 3.69%, and a yield on the two-year 4.27%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.1%, up $1.66 at $79.13 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $10.90 at $18.06.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0617 against the dollar. British pound 1.2067. The yen 132.61. And Bitcoin, it's up 0.5% at about $16,900. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Frigid air making its way east across the United States, with several states issuing blizzard warnings. Meteorologists are warning the conditions could create bomb cyclone conditions in spots. The weather has also caused widespread travel disruptions. The Senate passed a $1.7 trillion spending bill yesterday in an effort to stop a government shutdown. The bill now heads to the House, where it is expected to pass. In the NFL, the Jets lost to the Jaguars 19-3. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Rangers 5-3. The Bruins won. In the NBA, the Wizards lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:42 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager alongside Karen Moscow with some other stories making news this morning. The State Department says Secretary of State Antony, I don't know why I keep trying to say Treasury, but at any rate, Secretary of State Antony Blinken discussed COVID transparency in a recent call with China's foreign minister and stressed the importance of Beijing being forthright about a growing COVID outbreak in the country. Blinken held a news conference yesterday running through many of his department's accomplishments and covering continuing goals.
Invest in the foundations of our strength at home, align with our partners and allies, compete with China so that we can defend our interests and realize our vision for the future.
And in that call with China, Secretary of State Antony Blinken also discussed the war in Ukraine.
Well, we're looking at corporate news now, Nathan, and it's more trouble at Tesla. The federal government is going to investigate another accident involving Tesla's driver assistance programs. And we get more on that story with Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
The driver at the heart of last month's Thanksgiving pileup in the Bay Area on the Bay Bridge is blaming Tesla's self-driving software. 9 people suffered minor injuries in an 8-car collision, which also caused major traffic delays. The driver says his Tesla S was engaged in full self-driving mode from software that he had just recently installed. He says the car suddenly came to a stop, causing a chain reaction collision. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Ed, thanks. And there's legal trouble at another tech giant this morning, Meta Platforms. The owner of Facebook has agreed to pay $725 million. That's to settle a long-running lawsuit that claimed Facebook illegally shared user data with the research firm Cambridge Analytica. This lawsuit dates back to 2018. It followed revelations that the UK research firm tied to former President Donald Trump's 2016 campaign gained access to Facebook data on as many as 87 million subscribers.
Well, with video games are probably on the top of most people's minds, considering it's the holiday season.
On the top
season.
Of the list, anyway, yeah, for sure.
Ours, too. Oh, my gosh. The Sims, NBA, you name it. Well,
of course.
Microsoft, you might be interested in this, then. Microsoft is fighting back against allegations from the FTC that its proposed $69 billion acquisition of Activision would harm competition in the video game industry. In a filing with the FTC yesterday, Microsoft said the tie-up would create more choices for gamers and game developers. The FTC earlier this month voted to sue to block the merger between the Xbox maker and Activision Blizzard, which produces popular video games, including Call of Duty. We'll have to get our kids together to play against each other, Nathan.
Yeah, they're definitely not going to be playing with me. I'm still stuck on Wordle, and I still miss Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, but, I love Super Mario. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, maybe they'll put one of those classic NESs under my tree this year. But we got to get back to Tesla this morning as well. The EV shares, EV car makers shares are on the rise this morning. That's after that promise from CEO Elon Musk that he's going to stop selling his shares for, at least in his words, the next 18 to 24 months. Let's bring in Alex Webb, our Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent, go-to guy, at least these days, when it comes to Elon Musk and Tesla. Nice to talk with you again, Alex. Is Elon Musk finally getting on board the idea that you buy low and sell high?
I mean, it's hard to know what is driving any of his decision-making at times beyond, you know, when he was selling, it was clear that he had a need for capital. He says that he's not going to sell any more for now, but, you know, if stuff changes in the course of next year, then I wouldn't put it past him still deciding to sell some more. He, at every juncture when he's sold, I think almost every juncture anyway, when he has sold down his Tesla stake, he said, that's it. No, this time, definitely, that's it. You know, so he has covered essentially much of the cost of his Twitter acquisition. Twitter has capital requirements. It's probably covered them for a while. Next year, end of next year, 2025, who knows? He says he won't be sold, but yeah, until he does.
Yeah. In the meantime, I mean, we've seen the plummet in Tesla shares this year, and we've heard the pretty scathing commentary from people with, or at least want to get board seats on Tesla, the likes of Ross Gerber and Gerber Kawasaki. And then this, I don't know if you saw this note from Dan Ives at Wedbush overnight. He's been bullish on Tesla, and I guess still is. He's still saying it's going to outperform, but he's lowered his price target and says Tesla needs a leader, not a Ted Stryker. Setting aside the 80s reference, is this airplane crashing when it comes to Elon Musk's leadership at Tesla?
I mean, when you see Dan Ives being more critical about Tesla, that certainly says, I mean, Ross Gerber, of course, colossal Tesla bull, that both those guys now seem to be turning against Musk. That is something certainly to write home about. I think that, you know, ultimately, he's someone who was already the CEO of several companies. Twitter, you know, even given the overvaluation in terms of what he paid for Twitter, is a company with less than 10% of the market cap of a significantly depressed Tesla stock. I think if you're a Tesla investor, you are understandably concerned about the amount of time that Musk is spending at Twitter. And then you add on top of that, you know, a lot of these comments about whether he's going to sell Tesla stock, they came in a Twitter space that Elon Musk joined late yesterday. Well, he spent an hour on that Twitter space. He was on a Twitter space that I heard the day before at about 6 a.m. UK time. So it was quite late into the evening on the West Coast. You know, if he's spending an hour a day joining Twitter spaces, that's an hour a day he's not spending on either running Tesla or Twitter. You know, there are massive questions about his time management, given the now almost half dozen companies of which he's the CEO.
Yeah, and one point that Elon Musk has made on his Twitter feed when it comes to the trajectory for Tesla stock, he's been putting some of the blame on the Fed, higher interest rates, and the weight that that puts on tech stocks. Is that part of the story here for Tesla, the central bank policy story?
I mean, yes, certainly. It is certainly part of the story. It is absolutely not the whole story. You know, Tesla was, by a lot of estimations, significantly overvalued. You know, even now, it trades at something in the, you know, 20-something times multiple in terms of forward earnings. You compare that to other car makers who typically trade at around 5 to 6 times forward earnings. And, you know, Tesla might have some, you know, good software, some, you know, very good electric technology, but ultimately it's a car maker, and the underlying economics of that are the same as they are for other luxury car makers such as BMW or Porsche. So, you know, he has exacerbated what has been a consequence of rising interest rates by the way that he has managed, and frankly, in recent months, appears to have maybe mismanaged the company.
Yeah, well, we'll see whether he holds true to that word about 18 to 24 months, at least not moving Tesla stock on his own with even more share sales. As always, Alex, great to get your take on what's happening in Tesla as the saga really does continue. Alex Webb, Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent with us this morning, and looking at Tesla shares in the pre-market, they are higher by nearly 2%. Futures are moving higher as well, kind of building on their gains this Friday before Christmas. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 14 points or up a third of a percent. Dow futures up a third of a percent or 126 points. And NASDAQ futures up 0.4% or 44 points. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds. Yield 3.69%. The yield on the 2-year 4.27%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2%, up $1.55 at $79.04 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $10.90 at $18.06.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0617 against the dollar. British pound 1.2072 and the yen 132.62. And Bitcoin is up 0.4% at about $16,850. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Nathan Hager.
Karen Moscow, thank you so much. It is 5:56 on Wall Street, and it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And we keep our focus on Elon Musk this morning, who's been at the helm of Twitter for just a couple months now, but piled on controversy after controversy during that short tenure. Lately, it's been suspending journalists for questionable reasons. This week, after his own Twitter poll showed almost 58% of respondents wanted him to step down, Elon Musk says he will find someone else to run the social media company. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with Columbia Law School professor Eric Talley.
Musk plans to resign as CEO as soon as I find someone foolish enough to take the job. Who would be foolish enough to take the job when they'll be CEO in name only?
It's an interesting job advertisement, to be sure. I think we have the one person who is foolish enough to take the job, and that's Elon Musk. But it makes it even harder when he has said, yes, I'm going to find a CEO, but I'm still going to be in charge of a subsidiary part of Twitter. So how does that CEO even operate when your controlling shareholder is also running one of your divisions? Can the CEO discipline Mr. Musk for failure to perform? It's a very, very precarious situation. You know, managing Twitter is already a pretty big ask. Managing it when you are the boss to the person who is your boss is going to be an even bigger lift. So to the extent that he does find takers, they are largely going to be sort of lieutenants to him. That, quite frankly, doesn't help with some of the other challenges that Mr. Musk is facing, particularly from his shareholders and investors at other companies, and notably Tesla here. You know, they have become much more audibly uppity about, you know, his travails over at Twitter, and whether that entire enterprise is not only distracting him, but may also be, you know, sort of contrary to the better interests of Tesla in terms of developing its markets and making sure its products are reliable and coming off the production line, you know, heading into a very, very challenging period of time.
And some have urged the board to replace Musk, but is that board ever going to do anything like that?
Possibly. It would be quite a challenge to do so, given what a central role he has and continues to play at Tesla. It's important to realize that Mr. Musk, compared to Twitter, Mr. Musk is only about a 20% shareholder at Tesla, and that's declining, you know, every time I pick up the newspaper. So he's, you know, selling off more and more shares of Tesla. So it's not completely out of the realm of possibility on that score as well. It's probably worth noting that Senator Warren herself has come out to kick the tires, not on Musk's stewardship of Twitter, but on whether he's breaching his duties to Tesla and Tesla shareholders. On some level, it speaks to the complexity of the situation that he's in. You know, when you are so heavily connected to two companies that are not in the same industry, that may be in some cases working at cross purposes, it's going to be hard to stay out of regulators' sight.
And that's Columbia Law School professor Eric Talley speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. We have a check of the business headlines, all the news you need to start your day on hour two of Bloomberg Daybreak. That starts right now.